snappy to say, and it just escapes me. So I guess you just have to put up with Ed. Praise God. Did you enjoy this morning? Was it good? We're going to get more tonight, and we're just excited, brother. So I'll give the floor over to you, and I'll set up your easel for you, and we'll get going here.
Thank you. Okay. Well, then it's up to those leaders to go find people that have that vision that would like to help scoop them. And then, oh, yeah, I've got a pitchfork at home. I can do it.
Yeah.
And then
Amen.
You get the leaders, and then the leaders come to you, not to the pastor, to work in getting this circus together.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know how we do. Hey, about where I planned on stopping. So this is a good place. You know, you can't just take something like this and look at it one time and say, gee, wow, let's go do this. These are things that you meditate on, especially your pastors. They'll pray over it, and they may say, you know, that just doesn't bear witness, and that's fine. I told Pastor before we left the house what I had in mind tonight, and he okayed me sharing this, and I appreciate that, Pastor. But I told him, I said, Pastor, I said, you know, if you, at the end of this thing, you think this is big, you know, 30 minutes wasted. I said, we had great praise and worship. And, but on the other hand, there may be some things. You may not want this whole idea, but he may find things he wants to pull out of it to you. I don't know. But we got to have a beginning. Great things start with the beginning. Amen. So, we thank you. I thank you for paying attention tonight, at least listening. I thank you for your laughs. You know, that was your participation for some of you. You laughed. But and laughter doeth good like a medicine, a merry heart. Amen. Sometimes when we're taking things that are a change, they're rough on our system, we need something to make it more pleasant. I remember when I was a kid, from as far back as I could remember, I had constipation problems. That was just something that, you know, I had to grow out of. And my daddy believed that X-lax was the solution. And if one didn't work, two would. And if two didn't work, you just kept chewing them things. And he'd say, son, it's chocolate. It tastes good. And my mind was saying, Dad, it's nasty. If that's chocolate, I don't ever want any. Hallelujah. So we love you. We thank you. And we appreciate you. There's more things to this process. In fact, it's a whole teaching that covers the whole spectrum of growth and communication and organization. Organization is not a bad thing. God's a God of order. Look at the stars. Pastor, do you know how many stars there are? Do we know? Yeah, trillions and trillions. And you know what? They're just staying in their little path, doing their twinkling, their little lights, you know, doing what they were designed to do because it was a God of order who put them there. And God and His Holy Spirit are not hindered from moving by order, by His order. Now, if you get into this order for the sake of order, you can run amok. But on the other side, you can have godly order, God-ordained order, and it helps facilitate the move of the Holy Spirit. The church where we learned this at, Agape Faith Church in Clemens, North Carolina, they have put this to practice. I mean, God has used it for them, and they have grown by leaps and bounds. And Pastor Whitfield will tell you that one of the key reasons they've grown is because they implemented these things. And yet the Holy Ghost moves in their services like you wouldn't believe. They've got a wild man for a pastor. If you think I'm out there, he's way out of it. He's not out on the limb. He's way out in nowhere land. There ain't no limb. But so don't allow the enemy to say, oh, if we get organized, the Holy Ghost won't move. That's a lie. He'll move even better. He'll have even more freedom. Thank you. God bless you.
Ephesians 4, and this goes along with what? You're not a pastor, but I call you pastor sometimes. What do you have a title? Do you care about a title? Okay, Brother Ed. I mean, I don't. He's in some ways you could say he's an apostle, you know, because he does some of that type of work. But you know, whatever. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And Jesus, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Again, the work of the ministry is not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Their job is to equip everyone else for the work of ministry. And we've got that upside down in the Western church. and in most churches, because we think it's the pastor's job to do everything. Jesus said, I'm going here, you follow. Well, Jesus, shouldn't you build a sled and drag me? Lord, why don't you round up the camels and we'll have a caravan? No, Jesus said, I'm going over here. You've got to find your own way to get to where he's going. He's not making transportation for you. He's already given the word, follow me. And so this is a call to all of us to begin to be disciples. He says, for the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints, for the work. Oh, we don't like that word. I know it's a four-letter word, but I know, but it's in the Bible. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's up to every individual to edify, build up, love, strengthen, hold on to the body of Christ. I cannot be everywhere. God can, I can't. And there's times, I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, there's times when I will tell people, I have a meeting. Well, I don't have a meeting like you think. I'm just letting you think whatever you think. But I have a date with my wife. And I have made a commitment to my wife to be there at that time to eat together or to do something together as a couple, because we have found out over the years that the church can be no stronger than what the pastor and his wife relationship is. And it affects everything. So there's times I quote, let the church go, because see, the church, pastoring is my calling. The church is my job. But Debbie and I are one flesh. And if I betray my wife, I'm hurting myself. And if our relationship isn't right, then I'm going to pick on you. So I work to keep that, and we both work to keep that right, to keep that in its right place and to keep the church in its right place. I run into pastors all the time. They are so busy. They're working 80, 90, 100 hours a week. And I'm thinking, what on earth are you doing? They're burning themselves out is what they're doing. And a lot of them die young. And they think they're doing the Lord's work. And I think they're just doing it because they're driven either by their own desires or they're driven by the will of the people. And they've lost their life, but it's not for Christ. Because I'll tell you the honest truth. When pastors die or when they leave, within a year, the church has already gone over to the new pastor, and most of them just remember vague things about the former pastor. Well, he was a good man, and that's about all that they remember, because it can switch so quickly. So if you're not a disciple, if you're not being discipled, whoever is your pastor, you will just, I'm trying to say this politely, sheep will follow whoever the shepherd is that they choose. And we heard Rick Godwin preach years ago that God will hold you accountable for the leadership you commit yourself to. That can be scary. Okay, where were we? Equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the goal? What is God trying to do in the church? He's trying to bring us to the fullness of the measure, not of the pastor, not of the denomination, but the fullness of Christ himself, that Christ would be fully formed in the church. Can you imagine that? A new day dawning? Can you imagine if we would actually look like Christ? If when they talk about living faith or any church in town, they say, that's where Jesus is. You want to be healed? That's where to go. You want to get the word? That's where to go. You want to get this? That's the place to go. And so all the other churches are good. We're not speaking about other churches, but that's where Jesus is. And we're to be Christ-like in our own lives. Hallelujah. So he's bringing us up to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. God does not want you to just go everywhere. So many times pastors deal with people in church that they heard the latest teaching, and boy, they're off on a tangent. And after a year or two, then they come back to reality and they come back to the basic of the Word of God. But we so many Christians, so many Spirit-filled Christians are the latest. Did you hear the latest prophecy? Did you hear the latest of this? Did you hear the latest of that? And they dump everything for that one thing, and they lose their focus and they lose their direction. And some of them risk losing their salvation because then they get discouraged and disappointed and fall away and say, well, everyone's lying to me. It's like, no, you were just deceived. So he says, if we grow up in the fullness of Christ, we're not going to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We're not going to be caught up by the trickery of men. But verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined. See, the whole body is this. The whole body is responsible. The whole body has a part to play. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I had a man years ago come to me and says, Gordon, God's put so-and-so on my mind. You need to go visit him. I said, well, if God's put him on your mind, why don't you go visit him? Oh, I'm uncomfortable doing things like that. I wouldn't do that. Well, you need to. If God's put someone on your mind, I mean, if you our attendance has been really low the last 3 weeks because of the cold, and say, how many of you have noticed people that aren't here? Has the thought gone through you to call them? Every joint doing its part to build up the body and edify itself in love. Well, I think the pastor should go. I think they should go. I think this person should go. I think, no, how about you doing it? This is what causes growth of the body, of every part supplying its togetherness, its glue in the body of Christ. So I praise God for Ed and Kathy. Praise God for what you brought tonight. That's really good, encouraging, strengthening, challenging, growing. Hallelujah. So praise God. Amen. Ed, brother, we appreciate you. And thank you for coming and giving us your time this weekend to bless us and encourage us and push us forward again. Hallelujah. So let's stand up. We're going to dismiss in prayer. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Richard Harris. Praise God. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Oh, Father, we thank you for your work among the saints. We thank you, Father God, that you are still the God of miracles. You still intervene with your love, with your power, with your strength to change our lives, to bring us health, Father, physically, mentally, emotionally, Lord, to establish us in your word, in your person, Lord, that we would grow up into the fullness of who you are. And God, we give you all the praise and all the honor, all the glory, Father, for your work in us. Lord, we pray for the growth of ourselves and the growth of this congregation in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.